Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. We're here with Wichita State Director of Athletics, Darren Boatwright. We're going to cover a lot of topics from basketball scheduling, American Athletic Conference. We've got spring sports, always just a busy, busy time at schools and at Wichita State. So let's get right to it. First, we are 9 months into membership in the American Athletic Conference. It was officially announced on July 1st, so we've been through a volleyball championship, we've been through basketball, now spring sports are rolling. Give us some general impressions. What's membership in the conference been like?
Well, we know now why it's called the American Athletic Conference, because we pretty much get to see all of America, and we've traveled to and fro and had success in most everything that we've competed in thus far, and looking forward to rounding that out with the spring sports.
You mentioned the travel, and that was one people's big question when Wichita State got into this conference. What have you learned about navigating all over the United States and getting your people from place to place?
Well, we've learned that what side of the city that you stay on is important. We've learned where you fly into sometimes is important when there are options. In men's and women's basketball, we've learned that the type of aircraft that you fly on is important in terms of especially returning from the East Coast. So there's some adjustments and some adaptations we'll make moving forward from things we've learned to make the travel as easy on our student athletes and staff as we can.
So I'm sure there's a lot of sharing. One coach will share with the other coach, kind of a compiling of notes about how to do this the best way then.
Yeah, I would say that our director of operations position and all of our sports have communicated more this year than in general, and than more than they usually do. Just get so accustomed when you've been a member of a conference for so long to doing your thing and getting into your routine. When you travel, that when you go somewhere new, now there's a lot of notes and little tidbits that we can share with each other that can really ease the burden on the ones that go later in the year.
I had cheesesteaks in Philadelphia when I was with the volleyball team. Have you run across any local delicacies that have been particularly memorable?
Well, I really enjoyed the steakhouse we ate at in Cincinnati. It name slips me, but it's a very prominent and famous spot. I can't really remember the name of it though, but just having the options that we do, and you can get about anything you want in these cities. I hesitate to call them towns, so large metropolitan areas, and again, it's, you can get yourself in trouble when you get on a bus and tarry too far away from the hotel and getting back, and traffic times and time of day really matter when you're trying to move from one place to another.
Have you gotten feedback from coaches on, has this expanded, changed geographic recruiting areas?
I think in some cases it really has, because now we are being reported on in other markets and going and competing in those markets. And it's really going to make our visibility, and we've done some things with billboards and marketing contracts that we had in place previously that have allowed us to have a presence in some of these cities that we really haven't had in the past. So, I think just having the name recognition and going and competing there gives you an opportunity to branch out and recruit in some areas that maybe haven't been real prevalent previously.
Yeah, I know several coaches have mentioned that. Chris Lamb, volleyball, I know I talked to him and he has mentioned that, and I'm sure that will be the case in other sports. How about visibility with maybe some new fans? You're now going to places, Florida, for example, or Texas, for example, where there may be Shocker fans who haven't been around the programs, but now they have a chance. Have you bumped into those kind of people very often?
Just about every stop we see new people, and people that we haven't seen at road games before, and a lot of those are geographically, they geographically live close to the areas that we're playing in, but also the major airports that are in most of these cities allow some folks from Wichita that maybe haven't traveled in the past, now that, you know, we've seen them pop up in various places. So, yeah, I think we've seen new fans and new faces at every stop along the way.
Yeah, that's been interesting. I bumped into some people who were, you know, maybe live in Boston or New York and made it up to Connecticut, and they were kind of starving for Wichita State to come to their area, and that's been a nice piece of this. Football in the Missouri Valley Conference. Missouri Valley Conference schools had football, but it was a separate entity and not something that Wichita State really ran across a whole lot. Much different story in the American. Football's a big deal. We saw Central Florida go 13-0 and beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl. How does that affect Wichita State? How is it maybe different being a member of a conference where football is a driving force?
Well, it really affects our meetings and the discussions that could take place, and the importance of media rights negotiations and things like that. So the discussion of football is very prominent and upfront in all of our meetings. You know, tell you, it's fun to be a part of a conference that claimed a national championship in its football program. You know, as one of the Power Six conferences, and we're very proud of our friends at Central Florida and what they accomplished, and really we fly that banner along with them.
Let's get to men's basketball. The season did not end the way the American Athletic Conference would have preferred, but I think the other takeaway would be that they put themselves in a really good position at the start of the NCAA tournament. You had Houston, a number 6 seed. You had Wichita State, a number 4 seed. You had Cincinnati, a number 2 seed, which was the best performance that conference has had since its first year. How do you evaluate kind of the relationship there? Wichita State helped the American helped Wichita State with that seeding in the tournament.
I think all would say that it was mutually beneficial. Those three seeds are very strong seeds, and to lose in the semifinal of the conference championship and to lose two out of your last three conference games was pretty impressive and comforting to know that our seeding did not take a hit, and that wasn't anything that we really needed to concern ourselves with. But I think we definitely added strength to what was already a good, solid conference, strong basketball conference. And I think it was mutually beneficial in keeping the seeding lines and the competitiveness and the strength of the conference throughout the year. We were ranked much of the year, as was Cincinnati and Houston at times. So it was good to see that we were looked at as relevant. And then if we were to lose a game, or one of those others were to lose a game, that you know, we wouldn't take a beating in the polls.
Right, it was a situation where you could gain by winning, and you weren't as penalized as much by losing. I know Greg Marshall mentioned that several times over the last week or two of the season, that was a nice position to be in compared to maybe some of the other seasons. On the women's side, two teams from the American in the women's tournament. UConn, of course, is still rolling along. South Florida lost in the first round, and then three in the WNIT. How does the strength of this conference as a women's basketball conference set up Wichita State for maybe future access to postseason tournaments?
Well, I think it's a great testament to the strength of the conference top to bottom when almost half of your conference membership is competing in the two major postseason tournaments. I think that's a great place to be, and I look to be there as well in the coming years, and think that we'll compete at a high level. And you know, we were able to knock off South Florida this year, which I think was a bit of a surprise to everybody. I think only our second top 25 win in program history, and very proud of that. So we look forward to competing at a high level in women's basketball as well.
And I understand Connecticut will come to Coke Arena next season. Is that something fans can count on?
I think that they can count on that. That's part of the competitive-based scheduling model that the American uses. And, of course, they didn't come this year, so we're all but guaranteed that they will make an appearance in Wichita next year and come into Charles Coke Arena, what will hope to be a competitive and big night.
That will be a lot of fun. Three jobs opened up on the men's side in American Athletic Conference basketball. Filled two of them. East Carolina is still looking. The two that they filled are two of the more high-profile jobs in the conference. Memphis hired Penny Hardaway. Connecticut hired Dan Hurley. What's your thoughts on those hires and how that might help two really important programs in this conference?
Well, those programs are very, very important, and we need them to be successful and as competitive as they traditionally have been. But as far as the coaching hires, real impressed with Danny Hurley and think that he will do a fantastic job. I just, you know, you think of the Hurley name and you think of the Northeast part of the country, and I think Danny going to Connecticut was a natural fit, and I think that really strengthens the head coaches in the conference that was already a very strong group. With Anthony Hardaway, you know, who knows? I mean, a very, very popular figure in the history of basketball, both college and professional, has made his presence known in the AAU circuit in Memphis over the past few years, and has had success as a high school coach. So hopefully he will be able to get Memphis to a point that their fan base is comfortable with and excited about. Evidently 21 wins isn't very exciting in Memphis, but I sure thought Coach Smith did a fantastic job this year, but people make decisions for a lot of reasons, and we welcome Anthony into the conference and wish him success.
I thought it was interesting that apparently Dan Hurley also had options at Pittsburgh, and from an American Athletic Conference point of view, the fact that UConn could, I don't know if outbid is the right word, but get a coach who also had some interest from an ACC school was a good statement for the conference and for Connecticut.
It really is, and you know, Connecticut's one of the traditional blue blood programs, and I'm not certain, but I think they've won 4 national championships over the course of the last 20 years, and you know, they deserve to be able to have kind of the pick of the litter of the coaches that they're interested in. So. So yeah, it was good to see that the respect of the American and the respect of Connecticut is absolutely still very strong.
What feedback did you get from fans regarding the men's tournament in Orlando?
Mixed bag. You know, people went down there because it was something new, and we always travel well wherever we play, and especially at tournament time. It just didn't seem like, from our fans' feedback, that it felt like a big event. And I think that as we go to Memphis next year, that town loves basketball and will embrace the tournament. And then as we go to Fort Worth for the following 3 years, I look forward to having it in the Midwest, where several of the institutions are within driving distance, and just think that we'll have a fantastic showing from all, maybe not all, but quite a few of our conference membership. And, you know, I just think that Fort Worth, we will be their first major event in their new arena that is currently under construction. And, you know, just look forward to taking our show on the road to those places.
Yeah, I think Shocker fans are very excited about both those destinations, Memphis and Fort Worth. And it's in Fort Worth for 3 seasons. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
That will be interesting. Men's basketball schedule. Kansas State's gotten a lot of attention here during their Elite Eight run, and I know their athletic director was on the record talking about wanting to play Wichita State. What can you tell us about that?
We have had discussions with Kansas State in the preliminary, but that goes back into the fall. Dominic O'Cone, our director of basketball operations, approached me back in the fall that he had some conversations with their program. And then Gene Taylor went on the record of saying that he has strong interest in renewing that rivalry and renewing that series, and of course we would as well. And now it's just got to match up, but the dates have to match up and a lot of things have to come together to actually get a contract signed. But it's good to hear there's mutual interest, and it is real mutual interest, and something that, if it doesn't happen immediately, I think I can speak pretty comfortably as saying that something will happen in the near future. But I'd be remiss if I didn't take an opportunity to congratulate K-State and their run in the NCAA tournament. So happy for them, and the positive energy that surrounded that program in the last few weeks. And no, it didn't end like they wanted it to, but you know, it didn't end like we wanted it to, and that's the nature of the tournament. But that does not take away from their success and the run that they had down the stretch there, and I'm just happy for everyone associated with that program, and especially Coach Weber.
Yeah, they really had a nice season, and I'm sure they are excited about that and the future of that program. Will non-conference scheduling, how will you kind of assess that after going through the American for a year? Does Wichita State kind of do the same basic approach? Will it change much?
Oh, I think it'll change a little bit, maybe more than a little bit, this coming year, just because of what we lost from an experience standpoint. And, you know, we were a little bit overscheduled this year, I thought, because we had a non-conference schedule that was set for membership in the Missouri Valley Conference, and you know, which needed to be a little saturated, a little heavier with high RPI teams and teams that would continue to win games throughout the course of the year. And not that we won't look to continue to schedule those games, but we may not have to have as many of them early on, especially this coming year, 18-19, just because of the uncertainty around our roster right now. I mean, we need to get our roster set before we determine who we're going to compete against.
Let's talk about the spring sports. A busy time. You've got everything from baseball in the national rankings. You've got Hunter Veith doing big things in the NCAA indoor. I saw the NCAA dual track meet rankings are out today. Wichita State's number 19 on the men's side. You've got softball beating Oklahoma State last night. Men's tennis is winning spring tournaments. How do you, as an athletic director, how do you kind of keep up with all this activity?
Well, social media has made that a lot easier. So you get real-time information, and in a lot of cases, you're able to check in and get live stats. And when you're not able to make it to an event or a match, or a contest, you can keep up with them very closely. You mentioned Hunter Veith, and I was very pleased to have the opportunity to travel with our men's and women's track and field programs to their indoor conference meet in Birmingham, Alabama, and to spend a couple days with those kids, watching them compete, was a lot of fun for me, and had an opportunity to do something I don't get to do a lot. Let's just sit down and focus in on track and field and enjoy the competition with them. And you know, it's a thrill for me to look down on the sidelines or in the infield, and you know, you have John Wise coaching against Carl Lewis from Houston. That's pretty cool, I have to admit. I mean, that's one of the one thing that I'll always remember from our first year in the American is you know, getting to see someone that I think a lot of and thought a lot of as an active athlete, and now as an active coach. I mean, now we're competing with the likes of Olympians, and that was pretty neat to see. But Hunter Veith is just such a special, talented young man, and to see the effort and the work that he puts in, and all of our student athletes put in. But you know, I think Hunter coming in second place in a national championship for the heptathlon, it's fantastic. And to know what he puts into being able to compete at that level, both from a nutrition standpoint and a strength conditioning standpoint, is very impressive. And we give all of our congratulations to him. But, you know, the other spring sports, baseball's off to a really nice start. They sit at 18-4 as we sit here today. And, you know, they're going on a conference opening road trip Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at East Carolina, and I think we'll really find out something about our baseball team this weekend. So it's something I'm looking forward to following.
I know when I talked to you in the past about the baseball program, you were of the opinion that Todd Butler's recruiting efforts, you know, he kind of started over again, and that this group was going to mature and keep improving. Is that what we're seeing this season?
I think so. I just think it's a group that has the ability to compete at a high level, and now they have the experience. And last year, I think they were on the cusp, but could never get it all going at the same time, from pitching and hitting and You know, and now we're seeing great performances, really good, strong performances from our pitching staff as a whole. And we have some mature hitters. And what I've enjoyed watching is we're playing the game very clean on defense and not making many errors. And, and when you make the normal play, when you just make the average play, it seems like on occasion the highlight play happens naturally. And we've seen that sometimes. And I really enjoy a good 2-1 game, and we've seen a few of those. And I've really enjoyed the way that we're defending and playing the game. So, it's fun to see balls fly out of the park. It's fun to see strikeouts, but I think it all comes down to fielding your position, and I think we're doing that at a high level right now.
You can certainly win a lot of games just by making the routine plays more than the other guys. That's for sure. So when you were in Birmingham at the conference indoor meet, did Steve Rainbolt let you do the form chart? Did he let you do any of those kind of important duties?
Well, he gave me the form chart, and I think finally. Steve told me, he said, I can continue to explain this to you, but I can't understand it for you. And so it was neat to see how predictable that the sport of track and field can be, and just the ways that they look at the sport numerically is really fascinating. And so I had a great time and able to see a different way of coaching, a different way of competing, and really enjoyed my time down there with those student athletes, as well as spending some time alone with the coaching staff as a whole.
Yeah, that form chart is a big deal, and it is interesting. They can go in and have a pretty good idea about how things could go, but then there are always risers and surprises and things like that. That is an interesting event. We're in the spring, and so let's get to kind of a general athletic department topic. You get to this time of the year, and you're going to maybe be releasing student athletes from their letters of intent. We won't talk in any specifics, but I thought it might be interesting for people to kind of get an understanding of this issue. Take us through, first, what are the options that Wichita State has and that the student athlete has, and then secondly, what's the thought process that a coaching staff, that an athletic department goes through when they are reaching these decisions?
Well, I think you have to evaluate and look at the information of each independent situation. You have to look at them separately. I don't think it's not fair to lump them all into one category or say this is the way you look at it. But I, as an athletic director, I am generally going to be in favor of the student athlete. If they want out of their letter intent, I'm generally going to be of the idea and the notion that they should be released. The last thing we want is a young man or woman here that doesn't want to be here, or for them to feel like we're hindering their progression in any way. But there are instances that you have to consider. If tampering is involved, I'd have a different viewpoint on that. And if we feel that tampering is involved, then I would say that publicly and say why we're not interested in releasing a kid to a certain institution, or maybe putting some restriction on where we would release that young man or woman to. If a young man or woman has second thoughts and wants to reconsider where they want to go to school, well, I think they should have the right to do that. I did as an athlete back in the day. Now, we're talking about Division III and Division II and junior colleges, but still the same principle. There's a lot of things going through these kids' mind at the time they make these decisions, and there can be changes that occur that affect the comfort level of that decision. So I just think you have to be on the same page as your coaching staff and department, and talk through each independent situation and find what's best for all concerned. And you kind of put it to the rotary four-way test, if you will, and go with it from there.
We've got Loyola in the Final Four. They defeated Kansas State on their way there. I think that's getting a lot of attention around here because of Loyola is a a recent addition to the Missouri Valley Conference. What are your thoughts on Loyola's run and what that can do for a program that was really, you know, far off the radar before this, and how's it helped the Missouri Valley Conference?
Well, first of all, congratulations to both Loyola and the Missouri Valley. It's just fantastic, and it's great to think that the Missouri Valley is going to have two Final Four participants in a five-year window. That's pretty impressive, and we're happy for both. But what it can do, man, it's on an international stage for, you know, a 10-day period right here, from now through whenever they play their last game. And you know, when you have 98 and 100-year-old women talking trash back and forth to each other, you know it's important. And it's a lot of fun. I've messaged with their athletic director, Steve Watson, who's a friend of mine, and just said, hey, don't forget to stop and enjoy it, because it's going to come at you fast, and there's a lot of moving elements involved. And we have a small staff here at Wichita State, and it's enormous compared to the size of staff that Loyola Chicago has. So we even offered to assist them from a staffing perspective if we needed to send anybody to San Antonio to assist them. We had some people that were willing to go and fill various roles to assist them, just as colleagues and friends. So what it can do to a program, man, I think it's difficult to measure, just because of how important not only the NCAA tournament is, but the Final Four itself, and the storylines and the attention that it garners for your institution, for your, in our case, for our community. I don't know how that would affect Chicago, but still, I mean, it's a, you can't flip on your radio, you can't turn on your television without hearing about Loyola Chicago right now, and I think it's very difficult to put an importance on that. It's just, you know, something that's very special and doesn't happen often.
I thought in 2013, Wichita State did a great job of, you know, soaking up that attention. Greg Marshall was really open to, you know, doing interviews, to letting cameras in, to doing those kind of things. He was great about mentioning the volleyball team and the aircraft industry and Pizza Hut and things like that. I thought he really, you know, maybe went above and beyond what some coaches would do as far as capitalizing. And Loyola seems on that same track. Those kids are, you know, they've been great in interviews. Porter Moser's really good. Sister Jean has become this huge star. Those are things that you can really have some lasting impact, I guess, then.
They really are. And Greg did do a fantastic job. You know, I don't necessarily agree that there is no bad publicity. I think sometimes there is bad publicity, but this is the time right now where the kids, the student athletes from Loyola are doing a great job representing themselves, their institution, and their program. Like you said, with Porter, he's doing a fantastic job. And, you know, take a second and talk about Porter Moser. This is still a relatively young coach that, you know, was fired from his first head coaching job, and I'm not sure he hasn't been fired a second time somewhere, either as a assistant coach or a head coach. But you know, you when you stick with people and you give them an opportunity to mature in their profession, everybody wants to fire a coach so quickly nowadays, and to see someone who's the profession has bruised but has continued to give opportunities to, and you've seen him grown as a person and as a coach, and now to be rewarded for that. I think that those are the type of stories that deserve more attention, and I'm glad to see Porter seeing the success that he has. And you mentioned Sister Jean, and to those of us who traveled to Loyola a few times and have been around and seen her impact on that campus, in that arena, her actions and activity during a game. This isn't just a nun that showed up to go to the NCAA tournament. This is someone who is fully vested into their program, into their department, and has a strong presence and has for 40 years. and to see the attention and the way that she has handled this has been really refreshing to see. So very happy to see the attention that they've received.
The Valley brought in Loyola in 2013 to replace Creighton. I'm sure the Valley office was taking the lead there. I know it was ultimately a presidential decision. How much role did, you know, below the presidency, athletic directors and so forth have at that time? And what were your general impressions of Loyola when they came into the conference?
I knew nothing about Loyola when they came into the conference. And I know Doug Elgin took quite a bit of criticism for adding Loyola. And, you know, not that Doug is the type person to say, you know, here you go, I was right. But I've had some satisfaction for him in knowing that this today looks like a fantastic decision. So, you know, and you mentioned they came in to replace Creighton, and nobody replaces Creighton, and Valpo didn't replace us. It's just they're the next man up, for lack of a better term. But you can't fill that void when you lose such strong programs in your conference. But to see that they had the vision and the foresight to invest and invite someone, an institution like Loyola, you know, it now looks great. But, you know, there were committees formed to study the schools and institutions that were interested in joining the conference at that time. I don't remember if Eric Sexton was involved with one of those committees or not, but, you know, it's faculty reps help, presidents help, athletic directors help, senior women administrators help, and there's a lot of fact gathering and information gathering that goes into decisions like that. And, you know, to see all of them get it right is refreshing, and I'm glad they're able to enjoy that at this time.
Yeah, I was unclear on Loyola until, you know, I remember talking to Wichita State President Dr. Bardo. He was really impressed with their commitment and with their endowment, and that seemed to make a little bit of sense to me. And then I think what really changed, you would go there, and once you see that campus, you get kind of a different impression of it. It's a very physically impressive campus. I think there is a lot of potential there, definitely, and it's been, boy, what a fun and an amazing ride for them. That's really nice to see for Loyola and for the Valley.
It really is. And, you know, this may be, you and I have talked about it a little bit on Monday, this may be and probably is the biggest Cinderella that has ever made it to the Final Four. You know, there's been several of us who have made it now with Gonzaga and Butler and Wichita State and Virginia Commonwealth and George Mason, and in those programs there had been recent heavy financial commitments, facility enhancements, things of that nature, specific to men's and women's basketball. But in Loyola's case, this is kind of a out of nowhere story. This is just I can remember Porter recruiting this group a few years ago and our coaching staff saying, you know, they have a really good freshman class. And you've seen that continue to build and them continue to add on to it. And for them to seemingly come out of nowhere and be in the Final Four is a great story.
Very good. Darren, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.